This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the Obama administration continues to strong-arm Christian universities across the country, requiring them to beg for waivers to exercise their religious beliefs. Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, Greg Baylor, is here with the details in just a moment. And tomorrow is a big day in the GOP presidential primary race as voters in Indiana go to the polls tomorrow. I invited the two frontrunners to join me today to talk issues. One will join me. Stay tuned to find out which one. And we'll get an update on the boycott of Target over their bathroom facility free-for-all from AFA President Tim Wildman. And we'll be taking your phone calls a little later here at 866-372-7234. So jot down that number. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more about today's topics and our guests. Also, hey, it's graduation time. And I've got an idea for a great graduation gift for that high school senior or even that college senior. No Fear, my book about the young people in this country that are standing up for their faith in a way that will encourage you. You can get a copy for them, a great prep tool for those that are going off to college. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com, you can order it right there on the website. Of course, you can get it online as well. That book, No Fear, A Young Generation Standing Up for Their Faith. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. You can follow me, again, at T. Perkins. All right. The Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Justice is tasked with enforcing Title IX of the Educational Amendments of 1972. And here's what Title IX states. It says, no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance, period, end quote, nothing else. Now, this may come as a surprise to you. Now, sarcasm alert, okay? I think I need to get some kind of a warning sound when that's coming. This may come as no surprise to you, but the Obama administration has found new meaning in Title IX's on the basis of sex. Now, 2 years ago, the president decided to interpret that as transgender discrimination. Now, even though I'm sure it never crossed anyone's mind in 1972 that such behavior warranted special protection. What Title IX clearly states, though, is that a religious exemption is available for schools with a moral code that's in direct conflict with the administration's twisted agenda. And when the president started cracking down on universities to comply last year, a flood of colleges and universities applied for waivers. By April 1st of this year, a total of 232 had won exemptions. They had to beg for it, their right to utilize and exercise their First Amendment. 31 are still pending, though. But to the LGBT activists who believe every American should be forced to embrace their behavior as normative, it was a cause for an all-out smear campaign. Late last week, the groups coaxed the Department of Education to expose the hundreds of universities with a shame list of anyone who asked to be excused from an ideology that even the American College of Pediatricians calls child abuse. Joining me now with more is the Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom and the director of their religious schools team, Greg Baylor. Greg, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony.
Well, it sounds like you've got your hands full with these colleges and universities being forced to come before the federal government, the Department of Justice, and beg for a waiver simply to exercise what the First Amendment guarantees.
Yeah, that's right. There are an enormous number of religious colleges in this country who are simply not willing to go along with this radical agenda that the Obama administration is trying to foist upon them. They have a traditional understanding of gender and gender identity, and they respond in a compassionate and loving way to individuals who are suffering from gender dysphoria, but they aren't willing to do what the government wants, which is to grant every whim and every request that a person suffering from this condition might want. For example, they don't want to house men with women. They don't want to allow men to use women's restrooms. And this has somehow been seen by the activist community in the gay rights community as just a horrible offense against human decency. But all that they're doing is exercising their faith, and legally, they're exercising rights that were acknowledged that they possessed by Congress over 40 years ago.
But Greg, the underlying problem here, as I see it, is the unilateral application of Title IX to something that it was never intended to do.
That's exactly right, and that's a persistent problem with this administration. I think all reasonable observers would agree with that, is that, you know, when they can't get their way in Congress, they just rewrite statutes on their own. There is a very slender basis for asserting that Title IX's ban on sex discrimination, which you read, and that's the whole thing, somehow forces every college whose students get federal aid to comply with every jot and tittle of the transgender agenda. That's just not how this should work. That's why all of these schools are seeking exemptions. It's not because they're being aggressive in any way. It's because the administration is demonstrating aggression towards them.
Right, and there's no evidence of any kind of discrimination here. This is a proactive position, if you want to use that term, from the administration to force this agenda on college campuses. So the campuses are responding by saying, hey, wait a minute, we have in our moral codes concerns with this. This is contrary to biblical teaching, which most of these institutions that are religious in nature hold to be normative sexual behavior.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and they're just acting defensively, you know, in anticipation of action by activist students or activist employees or the administration itself. This exemption is available to them under Title IX and the regulations that the department adopted pursuant to Title IX, and they're just exercising their rights. That's all they've done.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Greg Baylor with Alliance Defending Freedom, my guest. We're talking about, once again, the Department of Justice under the Office of Civil Rights using the Title IX authority that they have to really bludgeon these universities and colleges, religious universities and colleges, into begging for the right to exercise their First Amendment freedoms. Now, Greg, theoretically, now this is a double-edged sword, and we see this over and over with this administration and how they go beyond the letter of the law to use it beyond, you know, they stretch it like silly putty to make it into anything they want. But I think a reasonable person should look at this and say, do we really want a president and his administration using this type of executive authority to unilaterally impose these types of views? Because, quite frankly, it could be done the other way.
Well, that's right. And there's, as we talked before, there's a huge separation of powers issue here. I mean, I've argued and I firmly believe that this agency is usurping the authority of Congress. You know, the transgender issue is emerging into the public consciousness. And different Americans have different views about it and have different views about whether the law should play any role at all. But the department, the administration on its own, has circumvented that democratic debate by just declaring that this 40-year-old statute that everyone thought was about sex discrimination is now reaches gender identity as well. And that's not the way we should solve complicated social problems like this.
Right. Greg Baylor, what's the status of the 31 that have not yet received their exemption? What's going on with those?
Well, you can divide those into two categories. I think some of them, it's just a matter of normal bureaucratic delay. They will probably receive acknowledgement that they possess the exemption. But the second category is more troubling. There is one reading of the religious exemption that Congress wrote back in 1972 that suggests that independent, non-denominational schools are somehow not eligible for the exemption. Now, every administration up until this one has rejected that interpretation and said, look, if you're a religious college, we don't care whether you're controlled by a denomination or a religious order or a particular church. We just need to know if you're religious. This is about religious liberty, not about ecclesial structure. But this administration has held up on requests submitted by independent schools and they've held up in some cases for well over a year and a half. We've tried to get them to make a decision about those schools, and they haven't, which suggests that they believe that independent schools are simply not eligible for the exemption, which is not what Congress intended.
So this is not new for this administration. They're determining whether or not these schools are religious or not. And, they've done that in the past.
What they're doing, I think they have this idea in their mind that a school is religious enough if it's connected with a church or a denomination, but is not religious enough if it's not, which, as we know from common everyday experience, connection with an outside organization is not a good measure of how seriously faithful an organization is.
But Greg, historically in this country, you've not had to have been a religious organization affiliated with the denomination or not, put that question aside, you've not had to be a religious organization to have a moral code of conduct.
Well, that is true. And the unfortunate reality in the United States is I don't think that there are many colleges left who would resist the LGBT agenda based solely on moral or psychological or scientific grounds. It seems as though the only ones that object anymore are the religious institutions, and they are the ones that are objecting to this. And it's not just Christian institutions. There's a large number of Jewish institutions of higher education, rabbinical schools, that over the years have sought a Title IX exemption as well. So it's not just limited to the Christian entity.
But what we are seeing, though, that it is only religious institutions that even have a defense against this push from the Obama administration to totally embrace this LGBT agenda, which is gender confusion and all. And so it's only those few, and they're even tightening that.
A broader push to narrow what counts as religious freedom and who is eligible for it. We remember in the Hobby Lobby case where the administration said that Christian families operating in the world of commerce have no rights to religious freedom under the primary statute that protects religious freedom. The exemption in the HHS mandate was only for houses of worship and not for Christian colleges. So I think what we're seeing here is consistent with that broader theme, which is very troubling.
But final question for you, Greg. When you look at the First Amendment to the Constitution, that First Amendment was not granted to institutions or organizations, but rather it recognized the rights of individuals in this country.
Well, that's exactly correct. It says the free exercise of religion. It doesn't say by whom, and it presupposes that individuals, organizations, people in the commercial sphere, people on Sunday morning, people the rest of the week are exercising their religion, and the government shouldn't interfere with that without a very good justification. And in this case, the government doesn't have one.
All right, Greg Baylor, thanks so much for joining us. And once again, we appreciate the work of Alliance Defending Freedom, defending that first freedom. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, to find out more about Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, they do great work. We partner with them a lot. Go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, still to come, going to be joined by one of the presidential candidates, one of the front runners, going to talk to us later about the issues in this election. Tomorrow is a big day in Indiana. I'll have a hint for you on the other side of the break. And we're also going to get an update on the boycott of Target and their bathroom facility free-for-all. Amazing. It's crazy. We're going to be talking about that. Over a million people now joining that boycott. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
After 8 years of sustained attack on our most cherished values by the Obama administration, the 2016 presidential election will prove to be a critical juncture for our nation. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with the Values Voter Presidential Voter Guide. Determining the right presidential candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin of political rhetoric. Our voter guide includes each candidate's answer to important questions affecting faith, family, and freedom. It compiles the candidate's stated positions on a range of issues, including Planned Parenthood funding, the repeal of Obamacare, the future of natural marriage, the protection of religious liberty, and more. Go to frcaction.org/2016 to view the Values Voter Guide. You can also watch videos of the candidates explain how they would protect our religious freedom as president. Again, that's frcaction.org/2016.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
I'm Mike Woolworth for Bible League International and Open the Floodgates. Our campaign to send 15,000 Bibles to Africa from the listeners of American Family Radio. Last spring, Somali militants burst into a university in eastern Kenya and killed 150 students. These militants went from dorm to dorm, separating Christian and Muslim students and killing the Christians. Here in America, we face indifference or ridicule for our faith, but in Africa, Christians face interrogation, arrest, attacks, and even death if they refuse to renounce Christ. That's why more than ever, they need the strength that comes only from God's Word. But Bibles are scarce here. Bible League International is partnered with American Family Radio to send 15,000 Bibles during our Open the Floodgates Bibles for Africa campaign. $5 will send one Bible, $100 will send 20 Bibles. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at afr.net. God bless you for caring.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. It's always great to be home and spend time with the family. The website, TonyPerkins.com, and let me remind you once again, it's graduation time, and I've got the perfect gift for the graduate. It is a copy of No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. It'll inspire that senior, especially those going off to college, to be bold and to stand for their faith. You can order a copy at TonyPerkins.com. All right, still to come, going to be joined by Texas Senator Ted Cruz in a moment. We're going to be talking with him. Tomorrow's a big day in Indiana where voters will go to the polls, and this could have a deciding outcome. It could decide the outcome in the GOP race for the White House. So we're going to be talking with him about issues coming up. I invited Donald Trump to join me as well. He was not able to be with us, but the invitation is open if he wants to join us. All right. The chaos in North Carolina that was launched by the city council in Charlotte, driven by the mayor, with this genderless bathroom. It's a, you know, it's just created this whole national controversy. And of course, the governor and the legislature there having the courage, unlike many, I've only seen really courage to stand up against this crazy agenda in North Carolina and Mississippi. Governor Phil Bryant there stood up for religious freedom, two different issues, but related. We've seen governors in Indiana, Mike Pence fold. We've seen governor in Georgia, South Dakota, all capitulate and just cave and run. Well, when Target decided to weigh in on this issue and say, hey, we're going to have this gender confusion in our restrooms, we're in locker and dressing facilities, we're going to have a free-for-all. Well, you know what? Parents started to step up, and they had a vehicle when the American Family Association launched a boycott, which now is over 1.1 million in about a week's time. Joining me now with the latest on this is the president of the American Family Association, my good friend Tim Wildman, straight from Tupelo, Mississippi. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, good to be on with you this afternoon.
All right, where are the numbers at right now?
1,148,026. We went over 1 million signatures for the boycott target pledge Thursday, I think it was, Wednesday or Thursday evening. Anyway, it's slowed down a little bit since then, but it's still growing.
Well, there's a few hundred will be coming in the mail from our church. They circulated a petition yesterday at church. And so our pastor is getting that over to the American Family Association. And other churches can still do that. I mean, there's no deadline here. You're still collecting signatures, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the objective here is two things. One is to get Target to reverse their policy and to only allow men in men's restrooms, women in women's restrooms. Transgender people can go to the unisex or family bathroom. That's the obvious.
I mean, that seems like a reasonable compromise.
Doesn't it, though? What's so radical or discriminatory about that? And anyway, that's all we're asking. That and this stops, if we can stop Target from pushing this and have some pushback, then this won't become a trend. In fact, Tony, we know, and maybe you've heard some, I know other major corporations, and we've heard from people on the inside of some of these corporations who are Christians themselves, that they're paying attention to this way this Target thing's taken off.
They're not going to say it publicly because they don't want the backlash from the that community, that tolerant community that's not so tolerant.
Right.
But they're watching, and when we've seen the stock take a hit of Target, which is a good thing. And now let me ask you to put this in perspective. I know AFA, American Family Association, is like the king of boycotts. I mean, you guys know how to do it. You're very effective at it. Where does this line up in terms of the historical boycotts that you all have led?
Well, I'd say it's unprecedented. This is beyond our reach. We're one of the largest pro-family groups out there, and we do have a radio network and so forth, but for this to happen in this is more than just AFA people or FRC people. This is growing with just regular moms and dads out there who say, you know what, I've had enough of this LGBT stuff. Okay, I'm a live and let live guy. But you talking about my 10-year-old girl being followed into the restroom by some man? No, that's not. I'm not for that, and I'm taking a stand on this one. And also the fitting rooms, by the way. They're saying men are welcome in the fitting rooms where the young ladies are trying on their clothes.
I just don't want to see those guys trying on those bikinis, man.
Yeah, no, that's even more repulsive. But anyway, you get the idea. I think this has hit a nerve with just the general public.
But I would take issue with what you said that it's not, you know, AFA people. This it may not be people who are financial supporters.
That's what I mean.
American Family Association, but these are people who share the values of the American Family Association and the Family Research
Council. That's what
Council.
I mean. Yeah.
And they've had enough of this.
Right.
It's gotten to a point where they said enough is enough.
Right. And they can. And the thing about it is, Target is, you can't boycott the world. Okay, you can't, and not in this world. And there are some companies, quite frankly, that are beyond the reach. They're hard to get to. Okay, but with Target,
they're a good target.
Target is big. They're everywhere. Everybody knows who it is. And secondly, everybody knows what the issue is. This is not hard to understand. Do you agree that men should be allowed to go to women's restrooms and fitting rooms? Yes or no? That's you can boil it down to that question right there, and everybody understands it. I think that's the reason that this thing is taking off like wildfire.
Well, my friend, I think you've hit the target.
Mm-hmm.
You've
been waiting to use that, hadn't you?
I've been waiting all
afternoon. Yeah, well, good use of it.
All right. Well, look, we continue to encourage people to voice their opinions on this, because when elected officials cower and are afraid, when they take the path of Lot and surrender our children to, you know, the horde that wants to break down the door, you know, kudos to the parents who are standing up. Tim Wildman, thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, Tony.
All right, have a great afternoon. All right, folks, you can still sign that petition. Go to American Family Association. Sign that petition and share it with your church. Let others sign it. All right, when we come back, Texas Senator Ted Cruz joins us from Indiana. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
A lot of economic data coming out this week. Of course, some economic data is very, very important, and some things we're going to be watching very closely. Frankly, everybody ought to be watching this very closely. One is the ISM Manufacturing Index. That is coming out. I think that's going to have a lot to do with the beginning of the week and what's happening in the markets. People watching that very closely. Now, they're hoping it's going to stay above positive territory. It looks like it's going to, according to the forecast. We'll have to wait and see. The other one is productivity numbers, which have been negative now for a very long time. So we look at first quarter productivity number. This is a preliminary look for first quarter GDP. Last time we looked at it, it was a negative 2.2. They're expecting about a negative 1.5. Anything negative is not good, and it's looking like that is going to continue. Factory orders, another very important number. Looks like that's going to be barely positive, if anything. It's been negative for quite some time, so they're going to be watching that very closely. And, of course, the service sector number is another one they're going to be watching. Non-farm payrolls, of course, is always the big number at the end of a month. So for the month of May, we are going to see that. They're expecting about 207,000 jobs. It's very irrelevant as far as I'm concerned, that number. We are at pretty much peak employment. We've got employment numbers that are going to change very, very little as we see the critical mass of workers pretty much confirmed in so many private corporations. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes much. But 200,000 is not a big deal. That's probably keeping pace with normal attrition in the workplace. We're also going to be watching consumer credit as well.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at tperkins. All right, tomorrow is a big day in the GOP race for the White House as voters in Indiana head to the polls. Now, today's headlines alone reveal the significant challenges facing our nation and the next president. Whether on the international front, where Iran's Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei warned the U.S. today to stay out of the Persian Gulf, or Russia continuing to taunt our ships and aircraft, to an ever-expanding government that has amassed $19 trillion in debt, to the steady drumbeat of anti-religious decisions from our courts and loony policies from governments like we're just talking about, the genderless bathrooms and locker rooms. What will it take to turn America around, restore our security, revive our economy, and reform our culture? Well, I've asked that to the presidential candidates, and we're going to have one joining us. Do we have Senator Cruz yet? All right, we're going to have him in just a moment. Senator Cruz is going to join us, and I'm asking him that question. The voters in Indiana, in fact, stand by, voters in Indiana, because I'm going to hear from you this afternoon, our next segment. I want to hear from you about whether or not you're going to be voting tomorrow in your primary, because this is one of the first times that you, in recent memory, you have a chance to really impact the presidential primary by showing up to the vote, the polls, and voting your values. And by the way, we have a presidential voter guide at the website, tonyperkins.com. You can download that, share it with your friends, and it gives you where the candidates stand on about a dozen critical issues as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Again, you can find that at the website, tonyperkins.com. Also, speaking of elected leaders, I would encourage you to sign the petition that we still have on the website expressing support for the leaders in North Carolina who are standing up to this lunacy over there in the Tar Heel State. Again, you can find that at the website, tonyperkins.com. And go ahead and jot down this number. Still waiting on the senator to join us. 866-372-7234. Going to be taking calls from Indiana. I want to hear from those in Indiana about whether or not you're going to be headed to the polls tomorrow and joining your fellow citizens in voting. And I want to find out who you're voting for and why. All right? It's just want to know. All right? Because it's your opportunity to impact this election. Again, get that voter guide if you need a little information on who to vote for. Again, you can find that at TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're having a little trouble connecting with the senator. I'm going to get him here momentarily. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and give us a call. If you're in Indiana, you're listening in Indiana, and you are voting tomorrow, I want to hear from you. If I get the senator, I may just have to get you to hold there for a moment. We'll bring him on. But 866-372-7234. I want to hear from our listeners in Indiana. Tomorrow, big day there as voters head to the polls. You have an opportunity to impact the GOP presidential primary, something you've not had the opportunity to do in a very long time. Because usually, by the time it gets to Indiana, it's decided. And it's more of a formality heading into the convention. What can happen in Indiana tomorrow, depending on how it goes, is it may set the course for almost a guarantee of an open convention, meaning that we will not know who the nominee is until we are at the convention in your neighboring state of Ohio, up in Cleveland in July. That number again, 866-372-7234, as we're waiting for the senator to join us. And we're going to go first, I told you we're going to Indiana, so that's no surprise. But we're going to go to Teresa first there in the state of Indiana. Teresa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tom.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to be in Indiana and actually get to have a voice in, you know, doing something with the election. Because we're always one of the last ones to have our primary. And I'm Ted Cruz all the way. As a Christian, I cannot see myself having anybody else that I can vote for.
All right, so you're voting tomorrow?
Pardon?
Are you voting tomorrow, or have you already voted?
No, I am voting tomorrow. I like okay. to go and do the whole bit. I don't do absentee ballots. And I like to be in the thick of it and cast my vote.
All right, very good. Teresa, thanks so much for listening and calling in. All right, before we got 30 seconds, I'm going to go to Patrick. Patrick, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's a great privilege to speak with you today.
Well, thanks. Are you voting tomorrow?
Actually, 4 out of the 5 in my household voted on Saturday. We had 3 for Cruz and 1 for Trump.
All right, that made for an interesting conversation around the Sunday table.
It's voting tomorrow, so...
All right.
But there seems to be a fair amount of Trump signs out, maybe not as many Cruz, but most of the people that I deal with and talk with are Cruz folks.
All right, Patrick, thanks for listening and calling in. All right, we're up against a break. Jim, hold on there. We're going to be coming to you. And we're still holding for the senator to join us here. His plane just landed, so we're going to get him when he gets on the runway there. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. Much more Washington Watch to come, so don't go away. We're back with more after these messages.
I'm convinced without George Washington in American history, we wouldn't be talking today. George Washington, the father of our country, was instrumental in the founding of our nation. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, George Washington was also a devoutly Christian man. Stephen McDowell, president of the Providence Foundation, is an expert on our founding fathers, including Washington and Thomas Jefferson and others. And Stephen will be leading us on our annual spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. In addition, we're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip, but it's back-to-back. So if you want to go on one or the other, we welcome you. We go in June and September on Spiritual Heritage Tours. Join us. For more information, go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
The American Family Association exists to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. And we ask you to join a boycott of Target stores. If you agree that men don't belong in the same bathroom as our wives and daughters, visit AFA.net and sign our boycott pledge. Let Target know they're leading America down a dangerous path. AFA President Tim Wildman says this is exactly how sexual predators gain access to their victims. Again, the website is afa.net.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we noticed with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T Perkins. All right, as I was talking earlier, tomorrow is a big day in the GOP race for the White House as voters in Indiana head to the polls. Now, as I was saying, the headlines today alone reveal the significant challenges facing our nation and the next president. Whether it's on the international front, where Iran's supreme leader warned the U.S. today to stay out of the Persian Gulf, or Russia, which continues to taunt our ships and aircraft, to our government that now has over $1 trillion in debt, to the steady drumbeat of anti-religious decisions from our courts, and as we were discussing earlier, the loony policies from government like genderless bathrooms and locker rooms. What will it take to turn America around, restore our national security, revive our economy, and reform our culture? Well, here to answer that is GOP presidential candidate and senator from the Lone Star State, Ted Cruz. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, my friend, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know you're on the campaign trail. Just hit the tarmac there in Indiana. How are things looking there on the ground?
Well, terrific. We are barnstorming the state. We have been all over the state the last week. My wife, Heidi.
Oh, I think we lost him. modern technology. Let's see. Are you back?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Tony?
Okay, now I can hear you. Go right ahead.
I was saying we've been barnstorming all over the state with Heidi and the girls and Carly Fiorina and Glenn Beck and Mike Lee, and we're seeing a lot of energy and excitement. I think Indiana's primary is critically important, and the eyes of the country are on Indiana right now.
Let's talk about some of these issues, and I invited the other front runner in this race, Donald Trump, to join us as well. He passed on this opportunity, but I want to talk about the issues and the distinctions between you and him and the policy prescriptions that you have for national security, our economy, and religious freedom.
Sure. Well, there are stark differences. My priorities as president are threefold: jobs, freedom, and security. Starting with jobs, my number one priority is bringing jobs back to America, raising wages, bringing manufacturing jobs back to this country, back to Indiana. And we do that through reducing the burdens on small business, through reducing the burdens of Washington, cutting taxes, lifting regulations. As president, I'm going to repeal every word of Obamacare. We're going to pass a simple flat tax where every one of us can fill out our taxes on a postcard. And we're going to abolish the IRS. We're going to rein in the EPA and the federal regulators that are hammering farmers and ranchers and small businesses. And we're going to stop amnesty and end sanctuary cities. And the effect of all of that is going to be to bring millions and millions of high-paying jobs back to America, to raise wages, to bring manufacturing jobs back from China, back from Mexico. In addition, it is critically important we protect our freedom. We protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I have spent the last two decades of my life fighting to defend religious liberty. We're going to preserve and protect religious liberty, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the founding principles of our country. And third is security. We need a president, commander-in-chief, who stands with our friends and allies, stands with the nation of Israel, and stands up to our enemies and defeats radical Islamic terrorism. And that is exactly what I'll do as president.
Let me start with that last issue. When you look at our nation's military, the fact that through sequestration and the radical social policies that have been implemented by this administration, our military is really in disarray from a morale standpoint as well as a material standpoint. What are you going to do to rebuild our nation's military?
Well, Tony, you're exactly right. The military has been weakened and readiness has been undermined. And, you know, we've seen that before in our nation's history. We saw another liberal Democratic president, Jimmy Carter, who did the same thing. And Reagan in 1981, he came into office and he cut taxes, he lifted regulations. The economy took off. It produced millions of new high-paying jobs. And that generated trillions of new government revenue, and he used that revenue to rebuild the military and to bankrupt the Soviet Union, to win the Cold War. And I intend to do exactly the same thing with radical Islamic terrorists, which is we're going to start by reducing the burdens on small businesses, bringing jobs back to America, raising wages. That's going to generate millions of new jobs, which is going to generate trillions of new government revenue. And we're going to use that revenue once again to rebuild our military so that we can keep this country safe and we can utterly destroy ISIS. ISIS has declared jihad on America. We need a commander-in-chief committed to standing with the soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines who are bravely serving this nation and to defeating our enemies before they carry out their plans for jihad, murdering innocent Americans.
Well, I think you take us back to a time of Jimmy Carter when our nation was weak in its military standing, and internationally we were really mocked when Iran took the hostages. We find ourselves back at that same place where we have not only Iran, we have Russia, we have North Korea, all just basically mocking us.
That is exactly right. It is not good for America, and it's not good for the world when the President of the United States is a laughingstock, when he's viewed as not being a credible threat. But, you know, the silver lining in that is the thing that can change the fastest with a new president is foreign policy. You know, it's worth remembering that the nation of Iran released our hostages the day that Ronald Reagan was sworn in. That's the difference a strong commander-in-chief can make. And you know, you asked about the differences between Donald Trump and me. They are stark and dramatic. Let's just take foreign policy. On foreign policy, Donald Trump agrees with Hillary Clinton that America should be neutral between Israel and the Palestinians. I strongly disagree with that, and as president, I intend to stand unapologetically with the nation of Israel. Likewise, Donald Trump agrees with Hillary Clinton that we should keep in place Obama's nuclear deal with Iran. I think that is foolish and weak and isolationist. And as president, on the very first day in office, I intend to rip to shreds this catastrophic nuclear deal. And so there are sharp differences on foreign policy. Likewise, Donald Trump has called for withdrawing America from NATO, which I think would be even weaker than the Obama foreign policy. If we were to do that, he called for that actually the day before the Brussels terror attack. Now, of course, NATO is headquartered in Brussels. And if we were actually to pull out of NATO, it would hand an enormous victory to Putin. Putin would celebrate. Russia has been seeking for decades to break NATO. And it would hand an even bigger victory to ISIS. ISIS would literally be dancing in the streets that they had broken America and driven America out of Europe. And I think the right response is not retreat and weakness, as Donald Trump advocates, but rather it is peace through strength. It is the old Reagan understanding that we achieve peace by being strong enough to defend ourselves.
And it worked. It certainly it certainly worked. Let me ask you on the domestic side of issues, another contrast between you and Donald Trump. And it's something that should have never risen to the level of presidential politics, but it shows you how loony the left is in pushing these genderless bathroom bills like we saw in North Carolina where, you know, Donald Trump said, hey, let them use whatever restroom they want. You struck a different position, I mean, one that is, I guess, in line with one's biology, that we should, in fact, we should have men's restrooms and women's restrooms.
Right. And look, Tony, you're right that it is amazing that this has now become part of presidential politics. When Donald, just 2 weeks ago on Today Show, agreed with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama that grown men should be allowed to use a little girl's restroom. You know, from my perspective, this should not be a political issue. This is not an issue of right or left or Democrat or Republican. I mean, it's basic common sense. I'm the father of two young daughters. It doesn't make any sense for grown adult men, for strangers, to be alone in a bathroom with little girls. And it is the height of political correctness to say anything different. And you know, it's striking. A couple of months ago, Donald Trump told us he could be the most politically correct person on earth. He could change to be anything he needed to be. This is a good illustration of that he's unwilling to stand up to the PC police. And I think that is really unfortunate. I think it doesn't make any sense. And it reveals, I think, the fraud that is really at the heart of the Donald Trump campaign, in that he tells us over and over again the things he's saying on the campaign trail he doesn't believe. He's been a liberal Democrat his entire life. I mean, this is someone who for virtually his entire life was a vocal supporter of abortion, defended partial birth abortion. I mean, look, that's more extreme even than many Democrats. And even today, as a supposed Republican presidential candidate, Donald Trump agrees with Hillary Clinton and supports Planned Parenthood. They both describe Planned Parenthood as wonderful and terrific. They both support taxpayer funding for Planned Parenthood. You know, Tony, my views are very, very different. As president, on the very first day in office, I intend to instruct the Department of Justice to open an investigation into Planned Parenthood, because these horrible videos revealed Planned Parenthood, by all appearances, selling the body parts of unborn children, which is a federal felony, and it is only because the Obama Justice Department is so partisan and political they haven't been investigated. I believe the Department of Justice should enforce the criminal laws without regards to party or ideology, and that's what's going to happen if I'm elected president.
Senator, I want to thank you for taking time to join us this afternoon. I know you got busy on the campaign trail, the big election coming up there in Indiana tomorrow. But one final question for you as you part. When you look, and you've been traveling the country, and this is a historic election. I mean, we have to go way back to find an election that has gone this far. What does it tell you about where America stands, where this is so competitive, coming down really probably to the wire at the convention in Cleveland?
Yep.
Do people sense how important this election really is, and is that reflected in what we're seeing at the polls?
Well, I do think a great many people do. I'm encouraged every day by the passion and energy and excitement we're seeing. A couple of days ago, I had two little kids, a six-year-old and four-year-old, who gave me envelopes filled with change, because they set up a lemonade stand, and they gave me all the money they'd raised at the lemonade stand to contribute to the campaign. I mean, that we're seeing people, I mean, really ready to crawl over broken glass, volunteering, because our nation is hanging in the balance. And tomorrow, the state of Indiana is voting. The entire country is looking to Indiana. And Indiana really has a choice, not just for Indiana, but for the whole country. Who are we as a nation? Do we get behind a campaign that is based on yelling and screaming and cursing and insults, that's based on anger and hatred? Or do we instead unify behind a positive, optimistic, forward-looking, conservative campaign based on real policy solutions to the problems facing this country, based on bringing jobs back to America, defending religious liberty, which, like you, you and I have both been side to side for years and even decades fighting to defend religious liberty, and based on standing with Israel and keeping our nation safe? And Indiana is in a position to make that choice, and it is very much a choice that is going to have repercussions for this whole country. And so I would encourage any of your listeners who's in Indiana, this election tomorrow, the consequences for us as a nation, it is difficult to overstate. I would encourage you, come out tomorrow. The polls close 24 hours from now. I would ask you to spend the next 24 hours in prayer and on the phone, reaching out to your friends, to your family, to your loved ones, reaching out to anyone else you know in Indiana and urging them to come out and vote, to stand together, to stand with us, because the stakes, they've never been higher, and our basic rights, our religious liberty, the right to life, the Second Amendment, all of our rights hang in the balance if we get this wrong.
Hmm. I agree with you 100%. There is a lot hanging in the balance. Senator Ted Cruz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Okay, Senator Ted Cruz. Let me just encourage you, folks. Those of you in Indiana, be sure and vote. Be sure and vote tomorrow. Vote your values, biblical values. Download the voter guide at TonyPerkins.com. And let me just say once again, Washington Watch and other stations that carry our program oppose or support candidates for office. I extended an invitation to Donald Trump to join me as well, and that invitation stays open. If he wants to come on, he can certainly come on as well. Love to have him on, and we'll talk issues with him as well. I just want to underscore what Senator Cruz closed with, that there is so much at stake. Every election's important. This election is critical because the policies implemented by this president and how he has used the bully pulpit has so pushed our nation toward the edge that the momentum will carry us over if we don't have a leader who will undo the damage and work to restore this nation. We need a bold leader that will not be shackled by political correctness. We need one who will stand for biblical truth. And I hope you'll stand as well for biblical truth. Again, just as a reminder, we do not support or oppose candidates for office. We give them a platform. And Donald Trump is welcome to come on as well. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.